Well, lots going on, but let's kind of push the political spectrum aside because we don't do a lot of that. You know that. Can't wait until the election's over so we can concentrate more on some of the other fun stuff that we do all the time too. But let's open up the lines, continue getting your thoughts on strange things that are going on this planet. Pet peeve night too, by the way. If there's something that is a pet peeve of yours, check in with us. Let me know what it is. Mine? Driving around at night with people with their lights off in their car. And you try to get their attention. You're trying to help them because you don't want somebody else hitting them because they can't see them. That's a pet peeve of mine. But they just look at you like, who do you think you are? When you try to get their attention to put their lights on. That's just one of my little pet peeves. Anyways, the lines are open. And we're going to take your text questions, of course. And your Twitter questions for us too. So you can send us a little question via Twitter. Simply go to coasttocoastam.com, far right-hand corner, click Twitter, and you can fire away that way as well. We will be back in a moment with your calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Well, I guess those two seats that were available on the bottom level in Asheville, North Carolina, they're already gone. So somebody took them pretty darn fast. A couple had to turn their tickets in. They had a family issue, and we understand that, but they're already gone. So that's fast. But ups in the balcony still have some great seats up there, and it's a very great theater, the Diana Wortham Theater in Asheville, North Carolina. It's very pretty on the inside. It's quaint. It seats most events that we've done are like 1,200 to 1,500 people. This one seats 500 people. It's a beautiful little theater, and the acoustics are fantastic, so I'm looking forward to that. Let's go to the phones. Todd in Massachusetts, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Todd.
Hey, George. I was at the Boulder the other day.
There's your promo. That's a great spot.
Yeah, it is. All right, great story for you, but before I get a quick fact that'll blow your mind about your uncle.
Which one?
Well, in Massachusetts here, before all the Powerballs and all the crazy lotteries, there was one thing called Megabucks.
Oh, that's the one he won.
Yeah, it's you pick six numbers, 1 through 49, and it's 13.9 million to one. Now, I calculated over 20 years. It's amazing to me. You told me he still went to work as a custodian, right?
Yeah, he sure did.
He, for 20 years, he made about $1,080 a day. From hitting that lottery, which is pretty crazy, 14 million to one. But anyways, I want to tell you a quick story. But we just went to New Hampshire for a family vacation.
Yeah.
And we read online the reviews that there was supposedly a ghost that lived upstairs. But I don't really believe in that type of thing. But when we went there, our 2.5-year-old daughter, after the first day, would not go upstairs. She was screaming, crying like I've never seen before. It's one thing when an older person tells you the ghost, but when there's a little kid,
Oh.
there's no like denying something must be going on. You know what I mean?
That's right. That's right.
But we were laying out by the lake one night, and we took a picture of the house from the outside, and you can see clearly in the top window where supposedly the ghost stays that there's like a silhouette. And I actually put a couple of pictures of it up on my Twitter. So I was going to say you could look, or any of the people listening could look at it. My Twitter is Todd C2C, and I'm curious if someone can like depixelate it or something. There's clearly you can see a person in the window.
Yeah, there's something there. That's eerie.
Yeah, I mean, you said there's no coincidences. Like, what are the odds that there's supposedly a ghost, and then my daughter, who's 2.5, is crying as there's a little girl monster.
That's right. Something's happening.
Yeah. All right.
All right, Todd, thanks. I appreciate the story. And he was making reference to my Uncle George. Yep, I've got an Uncle George who won years ago $8 million in the Massachusetts lottery. $8 million. He was custodian at a school, won the money, kept his job because he loves working and loved the school. And that's what he did for his family. You talk about that. That's the closest I've ever come to anybody who's won a lot of money at the lottery. I knew one guy here in the St. Louis area who would win the pick sixes out here a lot, but nobody ever won $8 million like my uncle did. That's something. But how would you like to win the Powerball? 400 million one day or something like that. What do you do with it? would you take it up front as a discount or take it over 20 years? Really doesn't matter. You can't spend that amount of money. Let's go to Michael, truck driving in Wyoming. Hey, Michael, go for it.
Hey, how are you doing, Mr. Noreen?
All is well. Thank you.
You know, it's ironic that you brought up the lottery. I have a story, and it's true.
Okay.
A lot of times since I drive coast to coast, I will pick up lottery tickets at different states. And sometimes I don't have time to check them. So I'll take them, I'll let my girlfriend check them with her father in New Mexico when I go through there to check my tickets. I always buy 10 quick picks for the Mega and the Powerball. Well, one time I guess I had bought those results. I didn't buy it, but I asked for the results in Pennsylvania. That slip was in with the quick pick tickets.
Okay.
So right away, my girlfriend called me and said, "Oh my God, you won a Powerball." And I had said, "Well, just go ahead and send me a text picture of the ticket." She did, and I remember thinking, I never bought just one quick pick, you know, and had the numbers there.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking, this is wrong. So I went all the way to even contact the state of Pennsylvania. And of course, you know, it was, I didn't win, but you had made a comment right now. What would you do if you won $400 million? The ticket, the winning ticket, if there was a winning ticket, was worth over $300 million.
Wow.
Now, one thing I will attest to, it changed me just for a mere moment. Just for those hours that I really thought I won a lotto.
Did it change you for the good or for the bad?
Oh no, it changed me. It was for the bad. You know, it was just like, you know, I'm not, you know, I drive a truck and I don't make $300 million a year.
No.
You know, and so that amount, if you're not ready for it and you've never, you know, I don't know anybody who has $3 million personally. You have an uncle that had, you know, was worth $8 million.
Yeah.
But it does change you. So what I'm saying is I'm really leery now and I'm really cautious about playing the lottery.
Would you have quit your job, Michael, had you won a big one?
Oh, yes, right away.
You would have.
Yeah, oh, without a doubt. Look at hindsight, I shouldn't do that. Because the reality is, you know, I'm a truck driver that's worth $300 million.
You know, you could buy the trucking company.
Exactly. But still, you know, I don't know how to run a major trucking company. I know how to ride my truck. That's what I do know.
Yeah.
But you really got to be careful when you play that lottery.
Yep. That you are. And then here's another thing too, Michael. You will have friends that you never knew existed.
Exactly.
They come out of the woodwork.
My girlfriend's parents, who never met me. And they don't want to meet me. Oh, you should have seen. Oh, I heard them in the background. Oh, you're more than welcome. Come over for dinner. I'm just, you know. And now they're back to they don't want to meet me.
They don't want to meet you at all. Jeez.
Yeah, but it changes. You know, it's just, you really have to be happy with what you have.
Yep, you really do. No question. Hey, yeah. Thanks, Michael. Drive carefully out there. And you got to work. I wouldn't change. I wouldn't quit. If I won $400 million, I'm not quitting. I would set up more of a giveaway program to help things. But I think working keeps you active and keeps you young. My father retired from the Ford Motor Company, my late father, when he was 60 years old. 60 years old. That's way before where I am now. And I just saw him change over the years, slowing down and things. And even though he lived until he was 88, which is a pretty darn good run, the activity level for him changed a lot after he retired at 60. And so keep going. Keep doing things that you like and enjoy. I mean, if you hate your job, don't stay in it. You shouldn't stay in it now, but do something. Really do something. We get texts. We get the tweets. Tom, what do you have for us back there?
George, if you try to leave, we at the network will find you.
I know you
just
will.
Just remember
you
that.
You won't let
you
me leave.
You will not leave.
They shackle me to my office before showtime. I can't escape.
So we're going to start out with a text from Tracy in
Moore Park,
California.
All right, and after this, I want to ask you a question. So
okay, sure.
Don't run away.
Tracy says, I'm wondering if persons can attract evil, and if you're a bad person, will you attract more evil and get possessed quicker?
I think yes, and yes, no question about it. I think evil is like a magnet to other evil, and if an individual is bad, he's going to or she is going to attract evil spirits. And then in terms of possession, I think you're more apt to get taken over. If you're in that kind
of state, you're a bad person.
I really believe that.
But if you accidentally
do something
bad. It's called
karma. What goes around comes around.
But if you accidentally do something bad, I don't think evil's going to come
to you. No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. So, anyways, question. Because I'm going to meet you in Asheville, North Carolina on Friday to get ready for the event on Saturday. Everything all set? We're all ready?
Everything's all set. We're going to have a ton of fun. This is going to be a fun show.
I'm looking forward to it.
And, yeah.
What are you doing in terms of special opens and stuff like that?
Well, if I laid it all out now, you know, nobody would want to go.
So it's going to be a surprise. Of course they're going to want to go.
Well, yeah, actually they would want to go. But I don't want to lay it out. But it's going to be fun. We'll have some video surprises, and you're going to sing a few songs.
Hey,
like
you got my band
do.
There? I've got to rehearse.
Band's there. Band's all raring to go. They were just rehearsing tonight, as a matter of fact, and they want to be perfect. So,
well, we want them to be
it's
perfect.
All set. Yeah.
Okay, we'll continue with open lines. And don't forget pet peeves, folks. Share your pet peeve with me. Mine happens to be people who drive at night with their lights out. That bothers me. And then when you try to help them to get their attention, they go ballistic, like you're the evil one. Kelly in Columbus, Ohio, welcome to the show. Hi, Kelly.
Hey, good morning to you, George.
Hey,
Appreciate it. Good
to have you with us.
Yeah. I don't know what I'd do, though, if I ever hit the lottery. But your pet peeve, I drive locally around. Central Ohio, and I see it all the time. People drive with no headlights.
Oh, it's frustrating.
It's also scary because, you know, you come in, you know, you're going down some of these dark roads and, you got to make a turn and you turn in front of somebody.
Yep, and you can't even see them. You can't see cars with lights
out. And, you know, my opinion on that is I think they're just looking for some free insurance, some free payoff, or, you know, free cash. I mean, it's stupid and it's deadly. But, unless
that
is drunk or something, under the
But how can people drive without at night without having lights on? Can't you tell? I can see. It's pretty dark here.
Yeah, tell me about it. They probably got a nap. Who knows nowadays? But, it's just, it is scary, and it can cost you, and that's basically all I wanted to say. I wish they would, they catch somebody doing that. They should suspend their license for a year or something. Just to teach them a lesson.
They got to do something. I've got, by the way, my cars, you have that ability to put on an automatic. So when the lights start getting, when it starts getting darker at night, those lights go on automatically, especially when you turn your engine on. And that's a fail-safe system to keep your lights on. Sometimes a valet guy will shut that off, and you get in your car and you expect the lights to be on and you drive for a little bit. It's happened to me, and you realize, oh my gosh, this guy turned my light switch from automatic to manual and the lights aren't on. So you switch it back on, but that happens a lot. I mean, some people make legitimate mental mistakes and forget, but by and large, if somebody flashes their lights at you, folks, don't say, well, what's wrong with them? Chances are your lights aren't on, so turn them on. Let's go to Pam in Tempe, Arizona. Pam, welcome to the program.
Hi, George. How are you?
I'm fine. How about you?
I'm good. It's actually Sam.
Oh, you're Sam. He's got you as Pam. But I can understand how he would do that.
It's no problem.
Samantha, is that your name?
Yes.
Okay.
So I wanted to tell you about a really interesting past life regression that I had. Years ago when I was growing up, I don't remember how old I was, but I think I was around 4 or 5. I remember that I woke up from a dream, and I went to my mom, and I said, I died in a boat, and I was terrified, and it felt absolutely real. And I saw myself out to sea. There was a big storm. I was in a little boat, and I was looking for my boat. And throughout the years, I carried this with me subconsciously. It wasn't much that I thought about. And not too long ago, I started doing some hypnotherapy and going through past life regression.
Right.
And I wanted to explore this more. So I did a past life regression, and I saw myself on a beach. It was a really clear beach. And I looked down, and there was my body. And not my body as it is now, from my past life. And I looked at the body, and I recognized it was me. So I started trying to look around the area, and I looked at what I had on me. And I pulled out a little card from my pocket, which was just the universe's way of telling me, because I don't think I actually carried this in my past life. And it told me my name. In my past life, my name was Larry McDaughtery. And it revealed to me a lot of my past life. I was in World War II in the Navy, and I died out to sea as a fisherman because I was stubborn and went out to sea when there was a storm, and I was fishing. It was just a hobby as a fisherman. So I went out to sea and I died, and it was somewhere in Southern California around the San Diego area. So I started doing research on Ancestry.com, on Fold 3 newspapers, and a few other things, and I'm finding some interesting leads, but I'm not finding anything specific. And it's so true with me, and it resonates so clear with me. I'd be very interested if the Coast audience, if anyone, had ever heard of a person, Larry McDaughtery, that passed away in the 60s or 70s that has the background that I described.
That is an incredible story, Sam.
Yeah, I know that the Coast audience is vast, and you know,
we love that stuff.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it's something that I'm trying to do a lot more research on, because I think it would put pieces of the puzzle together of my life now. And
that would help you. And by the way, thanks for serving then.
Oh, thank you. I served in this life as well. So, you know, there's.
Oh, did you? What branch?
Navy.
Yeah, me too. 9 years for me.
Yeah, so there's a lot of puzzle pieces there, and you know, I'm just trying to look for something that would hit home. It would be wonderful to find a newspaper article or something that said, you know, local fisherman, resident.
Oh my God, that would be great. Somebody should help you with some research. Hey, we're going to come back with more open lines. Share your pet peeves with us and whatever else is on your mind. We'll be back. George Norrie back with you here at the Cave in St. Louis. Couple more weeks, I head back to Los Angeles again as the Magical Mystery Tour still keeps rolling along. We've got events in New Orleans. We've got another one in Santa Clara in California. And then things slowly start to slow down, and then we start preparing for Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. Oh, my gosh, it's coming up fast. Stacy is in Massachusetts. Welcome. Hi, Stace.
Hello. I have pet peeves.
You have one, okay.
Well, one is, I have a friend, and I talk to, she gives me her 2 cents about things. And when I give my 2 cents, her opinion always matters, mine doesn't. And she always wants to be right.
Always. It's frustrating, isn't it?
Yeah, and can I share one more?
Sure.
Well, because they can't see, people feel like they have to talk to me very slowly or talk to me like I'm an itty-bitty, and that drives me nuts. And then sometimes they talk loud. I mean, I can hear them, you know?
Of course. You got to yell at them. Look, I'm blind. I'm not deaf.
Exactly. And thank you for the radio. I had my friend send you a text message when I got it.
Oh, you got it. Great.
I did. It's so nice. And I really appreciate you touching my heart. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You deserve it. And thanks for being a loyal listener, Stacy.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. We send her a pre-C Crane radio. Compliments of Bob Crane, by the way. What a guy. William, east of the Rockies, is in Indiana. Hi, William. What's on your mind?
How you doing, George?
I'm great.
I just want to talk about my pet peeve. I absolutely cannot stand listening to somebody chew their food or eating a bag of chips, especially if I'm on the phone with them.
Yeah.
They're chewing on a bag of Doritos and
chomping away.
You know, especially if they're all nasally and stuff, you know, they got to chew with their mouth open and this, oh my gosh, I just want to throw the phone at them.
have you always been that way since you were younger?
George, I believe I have. It's almost like somebody, like nails on a chalkboard to me.
But we're going to go to Tom in a second with his either tweet or text, and I'm going to have him do the Milton impression from Office Space, because nobody does it as good as he does, and we'll set the stage with the movie. Let's go to Gary in Santa Maria. Hey, Gary, how are you?
Hi, George. My pet peeve lately has been the Catholic Church.
Uh-oh, what happened?
I know you were baptized Catholic,
yep.
And so was I. And they got a bad habit of sticking their heads in the sand when they hear bad or different news. They did it with Galileo. They said, oh, we don't have to look through the telescope. We know what's out there. And then you know what happened with the priest scandal. And I spent the last couple of days on the phone with the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, Monterey, and San Francisco. And I was telling them that the Pokemon Go, and this was hard to explain until people realized what Pokemon Go is, that Pokemon Go can catch you just as easy as you can catch him. And since Ingress, that's the adult version, that's where they mapped Pokemon Go onto, was mm-hmm. on the original Ingress map, staked out all of the churches. Now, you know that confessionals are heard at a specific time on a specific day.
In the church.
In the church. And that church has a geocentric marker for a game. Your cell phone, you give permission to play Pokemon Go, but there are even some flashlight applications that want to know your geo position. When you go to that church, it knows that it's confession day. You're standing in line with confession. You also give permission to control your Bluetooth. Bluetooth works off of three protocols actually, that let it take control of the whole phone. They can send it wirelessly. There's about 50 ways to turn on the microphone with Bluetooth and transport it to another phone, relay it from another phone, translate it to a Bluetooth, save it, whatever they want to do.
Does this happen a lot, Gary, when you have it on location spotter?
It happens all the time. And if you happen to have your GPS turned on and you're standing in line at the confessional, let's say you're not a frequent Catholic. Let's say you only go to church once or twice a year. You may take communion. Well, in order to take communion, you have to go to confession.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's where the drug dealers are getting busted. If the priest is supposed to turn his smartphone off, most of them just turn it down to vibrate. Many people in line don't turn their phones off. And then you look at the U.S. attorney for the state of New York, the one that's going to be investigating Hillary. His last name is Barama. He goes by Preet. So if you just look up Preet Tweet, he tweets, he has 280,000 followers. He's taken down some of the biggest people in the business. He took down Anonymous, the hacker group Anonymous. He took down the governor of Virginia. He took down a Catholic lobbyist, and his brother, Benny, is the father of Bluetooth in the warehouse that Amazon paid half a billion dollars to acquire. So now you've got a U.S. attorney with a brother that knows more about Bluetooth intercommunication than anybody, and you go through his notches on his belt, which he posts on his Twitter account, Preet Tweet, and you start chasing those people back, and you see how many Catholics are in there, And the whole Bluetooth thing started in about 2006. I mean, why bother going through the hassle of getting a search warrant when your target, whether he be just a small-time drug dealer dealing to his friends, a big-time drug dealer, a politician that you might have a grudge against, if they're Catholic, they're going to confessional, they're vulnerable people.
So you think you get people, Catholics, because of their cell phone. That's strange. Tom, what do you got for us back there?
This is a tweet from Jay. He says, George, how much stock do you put in people's claims that they have been abducted by aliens or UFOs?
A small, small percent. The other people, I think they're either hallucinating, making it up. They're mentally unstable. But I think there's a very small, minute group that something's happening to them.
Do you remember the guy we had on our when we shot our pilot, The Witness? He was behind the screen.
Mm-hmm.
He was so serious.
He was dead serious.
He was dead. I mean, these people believe this.
He really was. Okay, so I'm going to ask you to do your Milton impression from Office Space. Milton, of course, played by Steve
Root,
who was one of our guests in the studio a couple of years ago, is one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. And this Milton character, he's wearing these huge glasses that magnify his eyeballs. And he, you know, he's just, he's a strange guy, but do the impression. Do the one with the, he's waiting in line for a birthday cake.
Birthday cake. He says,
here we go. Listen to Tom.
Oh, no. I didn't receive my pizza birthday cake.
I didn't receive my piece of birthday cake.
And he says,
and he's watching it. You got to see him with those big eyes.
George, do you have my stapler?
Yeah. And he loves staplers. And then what was that with what's the guy's name? Lombard?
Lombard.
He told him, he goes into his office, which is one of those little makeshift offices, and he said, can you move back more? We need this space. And
the character. You really do got to see the movie, though. It's really a cult classic.
All right, say bye to everybody like Milton would.
Ooh, don't take me steeply. Bye-bye.
Not bad. Mark in Modesto, California. Did you ever see that movie, Mark?
No, but the character reminds me of characters I've seen in a Dave Matthews video called Too Much, a song called...
They probably got it from that movie.
The character you described sounds just like the ones in his video.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to see that movie.
Good evening to everyone. I was wondering if there'd been any mention, you know, earlier this summer over in Switzerland, they opened up the longest underground tunnel right through the Swiss Alps. It's called the Goddard Base Tunnel. Have you heard about that?
No, I have not.
Well, I just came across that it's like a 17-year project they were working on to cut this 35-mile tunnel right through the Alps.
Right through the Alps. I guess to save time, huh?
Yeah, it's a railway 20 tunnel. I don't think there's, you know, I don't know what else they've got going on there, but if they had a dedication ceremony for it, and the videos are on YouTube, you just have to look for them, and it's pretty interesting choreography.
Oh my man, think of the architectural work to go through that, through those mountains, to get that kind of a tunnel built.
Well, you know, they had those boring machines, those big boring machines.
Yeah.
They've got that, like the History Channel has. That's what I saw. I looked at a program on the History Channel or Discovery Channel. One of them.
They're huge. They just eat away at the rock. Yeah.
Very interesting. But the kicker to it was after I saw that documentary on it, I looked and I saw some other videos in the dedication ceremony or show that they had. You have to see it to believe it.
I'll look it up. I will. Thank you. Let's go to Barbara in Los Angeles. Hey, Barb, go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you my pet peeve, and it's ongoing. It's when people come to my door, and I indicate they should identify themselves, and I keep yelling at the top of my lungs, and that drives me nuts.
I don't blame you, and you're right. So you've got the door closed.
Right.
They're at the door ringing away, and you're yelling,
well, they're not.
Who are you?
They're knocking. I don't have a doorbell.
All right.
And I have one of those little I don't know what you call them, but you know, they used to have them in speakeasies. You open them up. And
yeah, those things that slide.
Yeah, and it doesn't do any good because the person looks like a blob and they can't hear me anyway. So, and there's this restaurant I do business with regularly, and I always have to, I mean, I just have to yell through the door, and it's just annoying to no end.
Nobody shows you their ID, do they?
No, I mean, they're delivery people. I don't know how they would do that, but and I had to call the delivery service for the restaurant and complain to them, and it was better for a while, but then it backslid, so then I had to call them back again. But it's just like people don't think, you know, it's kind of the Wild West out here.
Well, especially unsolicited. I mean, if you order a pizza, you're expecting the pizza guy to come to your door. You're going to look through and see him holding a box of pizza. I can understand that, you know. But, you know, hi, I'm so-and-so from Domino's. But so you're saying mostly people who come to your door unsolicited, they
no,
don't...
No, they're coming from the restaurant. But I like to know who it is, because once I had an attempted break-in a couple of years ago, and I kept yelling, and I finally scared the...
perpetrator, huh?
Yeah, I like to know who it is. Because...
Well, what would you like these people to say? What would be the proper way of identifying themselves?
Well, I told the restaurant before that I do business with, I say, just yell the name of the restaurant. And they don't do that, and I have to keep yelling at the top of my lungs, unfortunately.
What do they say?
They don't say anything. The restaurant says, yeah, we'll tell them. And I have to yell two or three times at the top of my lungs. And sometimes I just end up opening the door and taking my chances because I can tell it's a food delivery. But I just... would like to know who it is ahead of time.
You should expect that.
And they're poorly trained, and this restaurant, I talked to the manager, and he said, oh, well, it's no big deal, and he was getting ready to drop me as a customer because I complained so much, but he finally gave me another chance.
Well, they need all the customers they can get right now, Barb, that's for sure. First-time caller, Anna in California. Hi, Anna.
Hi, George. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks.
Well, I'm just so excited to talk to you. I can't believe I got in so quickly. Last Friday, I tried to call, and the lines were always busy.
It's all timing, Anna.
I guess so. So, anyway, today, my friend and I went for a tour of the Winchester Mystery House.
Oh, did you like it?
It was interesting, yeah. And we went down in the basement. We took the basement tour, and we went down in the basement.
That's the scarier part, I'm told.
Yeah, well, I thought it was neat. It was nice and cool down there, and it was great. So before the tour, we were looking around the gift shop, and I'm blind, and so they were selling Ouija boards.
Oh, no, don't buy one. Don't tell me you bought one.
I didn't buy it, but I touched it because I've never felt one before.
What did it feel like to you?
Well, it was just... you know, a wooden board, and one of them, it had the plastic covering was torn partly, you know, off.
Was the little planchette there, too? That's what you put your fingers on, and it moves
yeah,
on?
Okay. But, I mean, I couldn't turn it or anything. I felt this little bump underneath the plastic.
Yeah.
And so, I suppose that was a planchette. And so I touched it, and my friend said, would you like to get one? I said, no way. I don't want evil spirits in my house.
Good for you. Good decision, Anna. You don't need that.
So you think it was okay that I touched it?
Well, I would prefer you didn't, but I don't think anything will happen because you really weren't using it or asking it anything.
No, I didn't.
You're okay there.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. If you come upon a Ouija board, my recommendation is you just don't do anything with it at all. Jeffrey in Alta Loma, California. Hey, Jeff, go ahead.
Hey, George. Good to talk to you again.
You too.
Hey, my pet peeve is every time Windows comes out with an upgrade, that every command and location of the things you need to do changes. But,
That's how they rope you in.
Oh, that's how they make money.
Yep.
But anyways, I have a paranormal story for you. When I was about 10 or 11 years old, we used to go down to Sonora, Mexico, on these field trips to with school buildings.
Yeah.
And one year we were out there, it was late at night, and we were sitting around a campfire, and I believe from the sagebrush or chaparral, we saw some red eyes staring at us.
Ooh.
It's a real good ghost story, so just wanted to pass that along.
I hate the red eyes. I always hate the red eyes. I appreciate that story. A couple little program notes for you, of course. I'm going to be gone Friday, heading for Asheville, North Carolina for our live event. Jimmy Church will be filling in, so make sure you're part of the program there. And like us on Facebook. We're well over 400,000 likes now and followers there. Follow us on Twitter. Information's there for you all the time. And again, folks, need my email address. It's george@coasttocoastam.com. That'll get to me right away. We're going to come back in a moment. We've got another hour to go of open lines. Don't forget the pet peeve line as well. Simply call in and tell me what your pet peeve is. And again, mine is just people driving around at night without headlights on their cars. It's dangerous. It really, really is. But don't touch your dial, because we'll be right back with another hour to go of open lines.